Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This Father's Day, when you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost. It's like the father of all shipping services. It shows up to the airport way too early, just to play it safe. It's overprotective about all the things that truly matter, and it's always prompt, especially to be with family. Make it your first choice to celebrate your dad. Ship UPS Air with our money-back guarantee, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Visit the upsstore.com/airshipping for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
That's all. Just a big sigh. Just a big breath. As we get into, I think it's day 11 now, of trying to figure out where in the world is Nancy Guthrie. A lot has happened in the last 24 hours as of this recording. We're going to get into a lot of that. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us. We're going to kind of tackle this in some sections because it's best to kind of look at this in focused buckets rather than just pouring them all out over the table going, hey, because there's so many pieces to this to get through. Yes, they did had a person of interest just the other night that they were talking to. They have since released them. Turns out had absolutely nothing to do with this. But it wasn't before, a lot of attention was there. It looked like they had their hostage negotiation folks ready to go. They were hoping, and there's nothing wrong with hope, that maybe this is a place, maybe this is a person that possibly has Nancy Guthrie. They went in the house, they looked, they talked to the guy, and they came up empty-handed. That's after we saw six photos and three video clips from Nancy Guthrie's Nest camera. The first visual evidence in 10 days. A masked individual at her front door the morning she disappeared. He reached towards the camera, stopped, turned around, walks back to the yard, goes and grabs a big old handful of cilantro or whatever he was grabbing.
Like you
comes
do.
Up to the camera and covers it with the foliage. He came prepared to hide his identity. He was not prepared for what was 6 inches from the front door that, most would say probably going to be there at a higher-end home in a higher-end area of Tucson, a video doorbell. But that seemed to be a surprise to this individual. That gap between what he planned for and what he didn't is the most important detail in this footage. Robin Dreek ran the FBI's Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program for a very long time, and you've written about various ways to identify different types of behavior in several of your books. I want to get into your observations on this, Robin, and what your takeaway was now that it's out there. The footage shows this individual, like we said, approaching the door towards the camera, turn, grab some greenery, and put it on the camera. And there's a lot more in there, too. But Robin, just out of the gate, what was your reactions to this footage?
A chuckle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first thing that struck me was I was surprised at how fluid and easily he did that action. So the first thing that really was striking to me was he's very fluid and practiced at doing dumb things.
Mm-hmm.
And because here you put on your thought experiment hat and your empathetic view of like, all right, here I am. I've done this or I'm going to do this. And I say done this because I find his fluidity, which is tempo, which is congruence, which are all things I look at for body language and human behavior, is how comfortable is someone with the actions they're doing? Okay. And he looked very comfortable because there's no deviation from his norm baseline of how he's walking, how his gait, his movements are very fluid. In other words, no pause, no hesitation, no thinking, no stress moment. In other words, when someone is typically faced with a moment, a decision or stress, we hit a pacifying, maybe a neck rub, maybe a pause in tempo to think things out. But there was no thought process. This was kind of fluid. So he was ready for it. And here's his solution. Grab weeds and put it over the camera. Now, let's look at also the reason for this. So he covers himself up because I noted very quickly also he did a good job, I thought, of full body coverage with the exceptions of eyes and mouth. You know, mm-hmm. we often don't see this in these types of cases we've covered where a lot of times it's baggy clothes, street clothes, just something that the idiot grabbed before they did something. But he's got tight-fitting clothes or form-fitting, I should say. Very well covered up, hands, mouth, everything. And so that was well done, fluid motion, and so it looked practiced to me. But again, when you're putting yourself in that moment, what was he trying to do? He's covered himself up, so it's not like he's trying to permanently obscure himself with the camera because he's covered that. In other words, plan A was to obscure yourself from law enforcement or anyone on the street or something. So really the camera, what happens when you first go up to a Ring camera or a Nest camera, whatever it is? It goes off. And so most likely my thought process is, all right, because what do you do? Everyone listen to the audience, because this is how we do thought experiments. When your Ring camera goes off in middle of the night, what do you do? First thing you do, you pick up your phone, you pick up your iPad and say, who the hell's at my door?
Exactly.
And so that first movement he's doing should be to quickly obscure what's on that camera from Nancy inside. And instead of having a plan for that, which is, like you said, spray, or I would cover tape. Just bring some tape, cover it up, like put your thumb on it, you know, for the 2 seconds you're trying to break down that door, right? But his solution that he was very comfortable was to leave that space, continue to be in that camera shot, pick up some weeds on the side and like as if he'd done it before and try to, which wasn't even be a full obscuration of what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm. No.
No sense. And so in this 3 seconds, I won't tell more because I know we'll cover another clip. In this 3 seconds, we learned everything we need to know, in my opinion. Again, limited data points. There could be more, but we saw his decision-making process. We saw his comfort with his decision-making process on full display, and we took off from there. That's what I saw in that first 3 seconds.
So you think this is a massive moron? I mean, just to sum up everything and we can hit stop right now, you think this is a complete moron?
Yes, because who have we ever covered that isn't?
But he's a massive moron who, if, and we're going to get into further ends of this, if there's more than one person involved here, if acting alone has been able to evade the FBI and the full resources of the federal government of the United States for 11 days.
Yep.
That's not necessarily an idiot. I mean, an idiot in terms of not realizing there's a camera there. Yes. But that's where I kind of get to, and we'll get to it in a moment, of I don't think that this guy is operating alone. I don't think he's the one that is being the success story. I'm not using that in terms of like truly successful, but he has been successful. Whoever this is has been successful in evading any sort of detection or capture or identification in all of this time. That's something. But if it's, am I to believe that this man who walked up to this porch, looked directly into a camera and then grabbed foliage is that man? I don't think so. I don't think he's smart enough based on that. I mean, you could walk up to that door. I would think if you're going to go up there, I don't know, bring a notepad, bring something. You could easily get up there and completely disguise your face until you know if that is a Ring doorbell or a regular doorbell. Yep. And once you realize it is a Ring doorbell, okay, then go get your foliage, keep yourself covered. You don't walk up to it like this.
Maybe.
And I don't know. I've never broken into someone's home. But this is the first thing that comes to my mind as a non-criminal and how I would handle the situation.
Well, and even I went trick or treating a couple years ago, and I'm not a teen. Okay. But I'm small in stature. So I thought, well, I'm going to get away with it. And one of the very first homes that I walked up to had a Ring camera.
A lot
camera.
In that sentence right there.
I know. Don't analyze me, Robin. But here's the thing. As soon as I saw that camera, I went, oh God, you know, like I immediately did this and I covered my face because, you know, at the time I was in my 40s and I'm like, oh God, I'm asking for, you know, a Milky Way here. I was embarrassed and I covered myself. This guy didn't even do that. And he was up to something nefarious.
Yeah. So here's some possible thought experiments to explain why, you know, supposedly this guy seemingly has gotten away and not been found in 12 days.
Yeah.
So let's start with laws of probability. So the amount of unsolved crimes and homicides by similar means in the country daily is in the thousands.
Sure.
And now let's also look at, I think, one of the glaring issues that has caused a distraction of resources, when then someone that I personally do not think there's a connection between the ransom and this.
Okay.
I think there's capitalization on this event from the Nigerian prince to get money from.
Sure.
And so what happens is when you have limited resources coming in and now distracted with trying to hunt down the Bitcoin side of stuff, those resources that could have been spent looking in this area are now divided looking in other areas.
Yeah.
Because when did we start seeing rapid movement? When they finally took the resources to uncover the video that the sheriff said was never recoverable, and all of a sudden we're starting to see some rapid movement. Because had we been able to get this video, not saying they could have done it faster because it takes technical expertise and things like that, but when you start then going again door to door and also putting out messages, I think one of my messages that I'm trying to put out to people is how to profile the people that you've been encountering to match this, because we have a little bit of body language, a little bit of demeanor that is going to be more recognizable, even though you don't have facial, but you can kind of do some conjecture in there of, you know, there's, you know, maybe some sort of goatee or beard of some sort under there. You know, you can kind of see a little bit of the eyes, right? You definitely see body style. You definitely see size. You definitely see a little bit of walking movement. But then when you overlay it with this behavior, because remember in our base core behaviors, we can't mask who we are daily. In other words, the way he's behaving here is 99% most likely how he behaves every day. And so let's just take a quick look at what that behavior is. I am set in my ways. I'm going to do it my way. I think my way is the best way. And I make really dumb decisions when I come up with these ideas. Mm-hmm. So instead of thinking to yourself, who in my life looks like this and I think could get away with this, you're looking at the wrong people. You need to think about who in my life looks like this and is a schemer that things just constantly fall apart around.
Yeah.
That's who you look for.
Yeah. I want to, let's talk about the ransom for a second. I want to talk about, because we just talked about it. How are they determining here where to put resources and what ones to take seriously? I mean, I'm not familiar, know, with how an invest, you know, because this sort of thing doesn't happen very often. I can't think of really any kidnapping cases like this.
No, because they're rare.
I don't know what the protocol is for something like this, but I would imagine when a high profile kidnapping case like this is taking place, there's a lot of ransom demands that are going to come out. We've heard of, I'm losing track, 3 to 4 of them now. There's another one that came out right before we went on the air that you give us one Bitcoin, we're going to tell you more about who's doing this. That went to TMZ. They've all of them that we've heard about have come from media. So that would answer the question of why have we heard about them and why we've heard about three or four of them so far. I would imagine, maybe I'm wrong, but you can tell me this. Do you think there's other ransom demands that are coming in directly to the family, directly to the FBI that we're not hearing about? And how do you determine which roads you're going to go down and which ones you're going to put resources at when the reality is, yes, there are limited resources for an investigation and you got to choose where you're going to, you know, put the gas down and send those resources. And you don't want to be putting them at something that ends up being literally a completely separate case, right, which it feels like a lot of these ransom demands are going to end up being their own crimes and have absolutely nothing to do with the disappearance or, God forbid, the death of Nancy Guthrie.
Well, remember, they already arrested one person for it.
Yes, they have. Yeah.
So the rule of thumb is this. You cover every single lead that comes in. Every single lead. Remember, I talked with you all on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Can they?
I was in New York during 9/11.
Yeah.
And I had lead number two on the bombing, what they thought at the time, of the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Lead number two. And you know what lead number two was? Guy was on the West Side Highway, saw a plane fly into the buildings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had to go interview him because it was called in on the tip line and I had to clear the lead. So every time... And that's why when you hear law enforcement say, we take every lead seriously, we take every tip seriously, and now I've heard they have over 10,000 leads in, that's also why Kash Patel and everyone is saying, you know, all the resources of FBI are there because they have to cover 10,000 leads.
Yeah.
And
how do you do that?
Yeah.
One bite of the elephant at a time.
Which when someone is missing and they might be dying as we speak, time is of the essence.
What you try to do is you try to triage the ones that you think have a greater probability of being flushed out, but you still have to flush them all out because sometimes the most obscure ones, a lot of times the most obscure ones that come in from left field, you'd never thought in a million years would go anywhere. That's why you don't know. And that's why they prosecute to the full extent of the law these fraudulent ransom things coming in, because look at the resources it takes and distracts from, you know, from, because so our digital forensics that we do, that's a very costly and highly trained resource we have. And instead of taking that digital, I don't know how they're divided up or anything, our ERT evidence response teams and our lab at the FBI Academy, they are the best in the world at what they do, but there's not that many of them. And so instead of doing things, again, I don't know how they're compartmentalized, but so just as an example of resources, they're spending time figuring out this Bitcoin thing instead of taking time to do something else.
Yeah.
And so it's a distraction. And I mean, literally, did that guy on the front porch look like he's a Bitcoin connoisseur?
Not really.
No. But you still have to flush it out. And so that's why it's been that's why it's chaos. And also... If, and we've covered this before too, if money was the objective in all these other real ransom cases, that's why you're seeing right now, this is why the perpetrator keeps it low key, personal, to the family, make it easy to pay, sign of life. Because everything else distracts from the real person that's trying to get money. Think about this. So here's this. So say this was a real ransom case.
Yeah.
The real ransomer is now competing with all these other guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have put it out on the press because as soon as you put it out on the press, everyone else is like, oh, everyone else from Nigeria is not casting shade on Nigeria, but, you know, we get all those spam.
Yeah.
Things, right.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming in. They want their cut. And right now, today, we got someone coming in for their cut. I know who did it. Just stop with the noise. Focus in on a home invasion that went sideways. Panic escalation, and she's gone. So
I guess
if I'm sorry, Tony, if this ransom thing hadn't started and this was been treated as a missing person potential homicide, things would look much differently right now.
So if this is an idiot who did this, where is Nancy? If this was something gone wrong and she died in the process or they accidentally killed her, where did they put her? Where is she?
So the law of averages, I hate keep saying it, but I start with what is the probable, and then we flush it out.
Yeah.
The probable things that happen and have happened in the past is a home invasion gets the chaotic escalation, things go sideways, unexpected things happen medically to her. And instead of leaving evidence, bodies and DNA behind, you take her with you.
I want to talk about this because this Florida Paris just made a comment, and it's exactly what I was thinking here too. Home invasion with a full backpack and stays for 45 minutes. What is it here? I want to just give some observations here on the porch and the guy, and then what happens next. This looked like someone who was going in why would you have a full backpack full of shit if you're there to steal things? I think that felt a little weird. Yep. He seemed over-prepared, like over-the-top prepared. The gloves that he was wearing, I was calling them like moon gloves. I say like moon boots, like, you know, like the big ones you wear in the winter when you're a kid and you're going to go play out in the snow. It reminded me of just how kind of poofy, like they're practical for keeping you warm. They're not practical for usage. You can maybe hold a ski pole with it on a good day.
Other than that, firearm.
It's not or you couldn't even get a gun out. I think you could probably even get his finger in the trigger with that.
Yep.
And what I noticed about them, and this is just my observation, this is not anything that has come out. What my takeaway when I looked at it really closely, it looks like it was a big winter glove covered by a latex glove. So it was like glove in a glove. So that I found to be rather interesting. We're double gloving it here with impractical gloves for said B&E or kidnapping or murder. None of that made any sense to me. And as much as I want to think that maybe this is a B&E gone horribly wrong, he doesn't seem prepared for it, but that could just speak to idiocy. The thing is, okay, so he gets in there. He seems really prepared for something, and the end result is Nancy is gone. That kind of tells me this is some sort of targeted reason he's going there to take or kill Nancy Guthrie. And we don't really know why. Why would someone want to go kill or take Nancy Guthrie? There doesn't seem to be a lot of reasoning there that adds up. That's what's hanging me up here, Robin.
So I agree. I mean, the backpack really threw me too. I did even deeper research on number of people involved in types of crimes like this. If it's a home invasion gone sideways with panic escalation, which is still my working theory, I'm leaning 60% to that still right now.
Yeah.
Always open to new data coming in. And this backpack was a new data coming in because the backpack leans 60% with abduction because of the full backpack. Mm-hmm. Unless... what I'm doing is I'm overlaying two things here. I'm overlaying the time spent in a house, and I'm overlaying that she is gone, and I'm overlaying the size of that backpack, which to me, a possibility conjecture is that it was you use that word targeted, is a targeted home invasion robbery for a very specific thing or things that didn't take up much space, might have required getting into something safe. I don't know. Reason why for time in house. Couldn't find what they thought or was told was in that house. And so you spend time searching for things. Here's another remote possibility that I thought of. Again, we're all in the world of conjecture because we don't know what happened in the house. But so let's think about Nancy herself and the things we heard about her. We've heard that she's a very kindly woman, very generous, just a good human being, right? So suppose that part of this event that happened in her house, that she does awake because, this moron is going around in the house rummaging for the one thing he's looked for. In other words, why was nothing taken in the house when he left? Might not have found what he's actually there to get.
Okay.
And also, what do you think? And again, I don't know. The family would know more than me. Yeah. If you had some lost soul that thought their only way in the world was to come in and steal from you, shows up in your house in the middle of the night and he doesn't present a threatening necessarily image to her, and she felt her best course of action was to talk to him.
Oh.
It does make you wonder what happened on that camera immediately after. I mean, my first thought when he picked those flowers or whatever that was, I'm like, is he ringing the bell and is he standing there with flowers? Like, hi, you know, I mean, that'd be a weird thing to see in the middle of the night. I don't know that I'd answer my door. We don't know that she answered the door either because the camera goes out. But it certainly, it raises a lot of questions.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. Here now, Tony Brewski.
Watch the video. I'm sure you already have. Forget everything you've read about this case for 10 days or 11 now. Forget the press conferences. Forget the ransom notes. Forget the sheriff's statements and the FBI bulletins and the family videos on Instagram. Just watch what happens on that porch. And it's interesting. A lot of people have a lot of interpretations on that. This video is going to be mine. Doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean I'm wrong. It just means here's what goes through my brain through my prism and comes out of my mouth after video goes in here, thoughts come out here. A masked individual walks up to Nancy Guthrie's front door. He's wearing a ski mask, gloves, a jacket, a backpack. He reaches towards the Nest camera mounted at the entrance. And then he stops, turns around, walks back over to the yard, bends down a very specific way, grabs a plant from Nancy's own garden, comes back, and then shoves it over the lens. That's it. That's the moment. And it tells you more about this case than everything else combined. Because that is not a plan. That is a reaction. That is a person who walked up to the front door of a house he was allegedly there to enter and did not know there was a camera 6 inches from his face. And when he found it, his solution was to rip something out of the ground and hope it stuck. You can analyze this case from 100 different angles. You can follow the ransom notes, the family pleas, the sheriff's press conferences. But if you want to understand what actually happened to Nancy Guthrie, start with the plant. Because the plant tells you who this person is. And more importantly, who he isn't. Your thoughts in the comment section as we work through this. Please do drop them there. HiddenKillers.substack.com. HiddenKillersPod.com takes you over there. It's a lovely community of some of our most loyal true crime followers. It's free to join. If you want to have a conversation there, it's a great community to do it in. Or on our YouTube channel, another wonderful community of folks. Please do give us your thoughts in the comments section. Links are in the description. I want to hear your thoughts. Now, look at what he did prepare for in this case, okay? Ski mask man. The ski mask covers everything except his eyes and what appears to be a prominent mustache. I know it's kind of hard to see it in that because he's got a flashlight in his mouth, you know, like pros do. They don't. Special note, they don't. Gloves on both hands. Big ol', I call them moon gloves at first because they're poofy. They're big old, it's like ski gloves or winter gloves or the type of gloves that they would put on Ralphie in A Christmas Story. You know, and he's, or Randy, the brother, and he's saying, that, yes, like he's bundled up, ready for a snowball fight in Arizona. And Nancy Guthrie's desert front lawn. that he's deciding to do a little gardening on while he actively breaks into her home. Although we don't see that on camera. So was he just late for taco night? Showed up really late? Shit. Oh, I forgot I was going to bring the cilantro. Oh, here's some. I'm going to leave it here on the porch on the camera. And then he goes home and that's it. There's nothing else to see. That'll be what they argue in court. Your Honor, we can't prove he went in the house. He was late for taco night. He left some cilantro and went home. I've seen crazier shit. But those gloves. Here's what I noticed on the gloves. They're poofy, but they appear to be covered in a silicone glove. This is my take. It doesn't appear that it's just a regular old poofy moon glove for winter. It's like poofy old moon glove covered by silicone glove. Yeah, I guess fingerprints, but glove on glove. It's a glove in a glove. Again, my take. Long sleeves, pants, clothing covering nearly every inch of exposed skin. The FBI describes him as armed. He's carrying a backpack, meaning he brought supplies or tools for whatever he intended to do inside that house. And it's packed. So if this is a home invasion gone wrong, he didn't really leave any room in that backpack for stuff that he was going to steal. But he's got we don't know what's in the backpack, but there's a lot of tactical, it looks like, supplies in there. Probably overkill. Like, it looks like more than you would necessarily need to abduct an 84-year-old woman. I don't know that you need, like, MacGyver gear. It seems overplanned. It seems overplanned by someone who's underexperienced. Or does it tell us something else? Does it tell us that maybe he's not the planner of this at all? Maybe he's part of a plan that someone else is orchestrating from behind the scenes. The question is who? We'll get more to that in a moment. He arrived at roughly 2 a.m. to a neighborhood called Catalina Foothills, a dark sky community outside Tucson with no streetlights, where homes sit on acre-wide lots set far back from the road. He knew the time, he knew the location, he knew the target. He understood at a basic level that forensic evidence matters and that you don't leave fingerprints and you don't leave DNA, that you don't leave skin cells if you can help it. He covered himself to avoid leaving a trace, or someone covered him. But he wore a jacket with reflective elements. Former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe pointed out that publicly reflective material at 2 a.m. in a neighborhood where the entire operational advantage is total darkness. And when he got to the front door, the primary entry point of the house, he was allegedly there to breach. His plan for the security camera was a handful of prairie brush from the garden. It tells you something very specific. Covering your face and hands says someone gave you instructions on what to wear. Showing up with no plan for the camera on the front door says nobody told you what you'd be walking into. Those are two different levels of knowledge, and they're coming from two very different places. Here's a part no one is talking about. The FBI released 6 photos and 3 video clips. They described the footage as captured the morning of her disappearance. Director Kash Patel said the second clip shows the individual approaching the front door and was taken just before the video. That's the extent of the time reference they gave us. No timestamp on any of the 6 photos. No timestamp on any of the video clips. No time range. Nothing that pins what we're watching to a specific minute on the clock. Why does that matter? Because we have an official timeline from authorities with three fixed points. At 1:47 a.m. on February 1st, the doorbell camera disconnects at 2:12 a.m. Software from the camera on the property detects a person on camera at 2:28 a.m. So we've been told Nancy Guthrie's pacemaker app loses its Bluetooth connection to her phone there at 2:28, meaning something happens at 2:28. That servers that severed the link between the pacemaker and the phone. Either the phone is powered off, destroyed, or Nancy was moved far enough away from it that the Bluetooth signal, it dropped. So where does this video fall on that timeline? If we're watching the moments before 1:47, then the footage captures this person arriving the camera, or arriving and taking out the camera. That tracks. But then what happened between 1:47 and 2:28? That's 41 minutes. 41 minutes between the front door camera going dark and Nancy's pacemaker connection being severed. What was happening inside her house for 41 minutes? Is the man we're watching on the porch the only person who was there? Was he the first to arrive? Or was someone else already inside when he walks up? Or were they out picking more daisies? Because 41 minutes is a long time. Is he sitting there going, what do I do now? And the FBI gave us the footage without telling us where it sits in a timeline that is a 41-minute hole in the middle of it. In a case built on minutes and seconds, that omission shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be the first question every reporter asks, except there's no reporter to ask it because there was no press briefing. But we'll get to that. Again, your thoughts so far in the comments. Now, pull back from the timestamp. Pull back from the porch. Look at the full picture. Look at the operation itself. Not the man on the video, the operation. The 84-year-old woman living alone in a remote dark neighborhood was taken from her home in the middle of the night. Her family says she cannot walk 50 yards without assistance. She requires daily medication. The sheriff said missing it could be fatal. She has a pacemaker. She was dropped off by a family member at 9:48 p.m. after dinner and games at her daughter Annie's house. Just down the road, roughly 4 hours later, the cameras start going offline and someone is at her front door. Think about what the operation required. Whoever planned this selected a specific target in a specific location at a specific time. They knew or learned that Nancy would be home alone that night, or it was a wild guess. They knew the neighborhood was dark, spread out, and unlikely to produce witnesses. They disabled cameras. They physically removed the doorbell camera from the house. They got an 84-year-old woman with severe mobility limitations out of her home and off the property without a single neighbor seeing or hearing anything. And they left behind her Apple Watch and her phone, but severed the pacemaker's Bluetooth connection, which means they either moved her or something else. Whatever happened inside that house stretched across a 41-minute window. That is not impulsive. That is not a crime of opportunity. That takes planning. That takes knowledge of a target, the property, and the area. That takes a level of coordination that doesn't necessarily happen by accident. This guy must be prepared, right? Well, I don't know. Take a look at the man on the porch again. Reflective jacket in the pitch dark, a camera. Defeat improvised with what is prairie brush pulled from the yard. He didn't bring tape. He didn't bring spray paint. Didn't bring a cloth. Didn't bring anything at all to deal with the camera that was mounted right next to the front door. He had the forensic awareness to mask up and glove up. Somebody made sure of that. But he did not have the operational preparation to check the entry point for a security camera before walking up and staring into it. Or if he did check, nobody gave him anything to handle it. That's not one person operating at two different levels. This is two different profiles inside one operation, in my opinion. The profile of whoever designed this, selected the target, chose the timing, understood the environment, coordinated the removal of an elderly woman without a trace, and the profile of whoever was sent to execute a piece of it. The man on the porch fits the second profile. He does not fit the first. And the question this video raises is not just who is on that porch, it's who isn't. For 10 days, the public was told this footage did not exist. Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos said publicly that Nancy had no active subscription for her Nest camera. The camera manufacturer confirmed its detection alert at 1:47, but told investigators there was no retained footage. The sheriff told reporters the device was sent to a technology company that exhausted all methods to recover footage. That was the story. The video was gone. Nothing to see here. Then, 10 days later, 6 photos, 3 video clips, surprise, recovered from what the FBI describes as residual data located in back-end systems by private sector patterns. FBI Director Kash Patel posted them personally on his X account. You know, yeah. Not through the FBI press office, not at a scheduled briefing, not with a Q&A session for journalists, on social media. The Pima County Sheriff's Department echoed the statement word for word and announced that no press briefings are planned and Sheriff Nanos will not be doing interviews. You know, like you do in a missing persons case when you release massive pieces of evidence that require context. You just don't say shit. The public was told one, and that I'm speaking, somebody like, well, that must be what you do. No, it's not. It's not at all what you do. The public was told one thing for over a week and then told the opposite. Either this footage was genuinely unrecoverable until this morning, which means someone found a method that the camera manufacturer and the separate technology company both missed for over 10 days, or it was recovered earlier than today and held until someone decided the timing was right. But the FBI says, no, that's not what happened. When we got it, we released it immediately. Okay, then what the hell was going on for 10 days? Both of those possibilities are legitimate, and both of them deserve questions. But both questions can't be asked at a press conference that isn't happening about footage that was dropped on social media without a timestamp by an FBI director who didn't open the floor. Former FBI Assistant Director Chris Swecker went on national television during this investigation and said something that most people missed in the noise. He said, and I'm quoting him, "The question really is, and I'm very skeptical of this, is this really a kidnapping? Does somebody have her? And is she really alive?" He said investigators are giving some leeway for the possibility that this is not a kidnapping. Sit with that for a second. That's not me. That's not a podcast host speculating. That's a former assistant director of the FBI saying on camera that the foundational premise of this entire case, that Nancy Guthrie was kidnapped and is being held somewhere, may not be what actually happened. And when you layer that over everything else, the man on the porch who wasn't prepared for the camera, the 41-minute window with no explanation, the footage that materialized after 10 days of being told it was gone, you have to ask yourself a very uncomfortable question. Does the man on that video look like the person who orchestrated whatever happened to Nancy Guthrie, or does he look like someone who was expendable enough to be the one standing on that porch at 2 a.m. while the real operation happened around him? I don't know the answer. Nobody does right now, but I know what to watch for, and you should too. When they identify this person, and with 6 photos, 3 video clips, a visible mustache, distinctive reflective jacket elements, and a full analytical and technological resources of the FBI working the case around the clock, they will very likely at some point identify him. But when they do, pay attention, my friends. Pay attention to who he is, where he came from, what his life looked like before February 1st, what resources he had access to, who he was connected to, whether he has a lawyer, whether he has a voice, whether he's alive to tell his own story. Whether the investigation ends at his feet or follows the trail somewhere past him. Because every single detail in this footage tells the same story. A man who covered his face, his hands, and his body, but didn't know about the camera. a man who was at that house during a 41-minute window that no one has publicly explained, a man captured on footage that wasn't supposed to exist, released 10 days later without a timestamp, dropped on social media by the FBI director with no press briefing and no opportunity for a single reporter to ask a single follow-up question. The most important question in this case is not who is on that porch, it's who put him there. And right now, nobody is asking. Your thoughts in the comment section on our Substack or on YouTube. The links are in the description. And if you've not done so yet, we are wherever you get podcasts. So if you're watching the video going, hey, it'd be fun to listen to this on the drive, take us with you in audio form on our podcast, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, available wherever you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, if you're there, please leave us a review if you're finding this reporting valuable. Takes a few seconds, signals to others you find it valuable, and it feeds us to them as well, so more people can hear the reporting that we're putting up. And I wanted to say the truth, but I don't know. I don't know. I can't say that. This piece here has been my thoughts and my opinions, my observations through my own prism. What are yours? So we can collectively take our thoughts and combine them and listen to each other. That's where we can get somewhere. So please do weigh in the comment section, and please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We will continue this conversation there. Until then, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $38.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.